We on? All right. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And it's good to be back in Essex, Maryland. It's been a very long time. And I whenever Lynn come up and greeted us and I told her how long ago it had been, she just stood there and looked at us for a minute. So. But it's been at least 20 years. That don't seem like that, does it? Yeah, because Jody and I moved to Louisiana, that's right. We moved to Louisiana in 2005. And of course, we had no idea what that would entail. But the Lord knows, you know, and we just wanted to follow Him and do His will. And we thank God for what He's done in our life and what He's done through our lives.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
But I tell you, it's a little intimidating standing in Brother Doug's pulpit because he's a very good preacher. And I know this is not a popularity contest, and we don't preach for see who's better than one another. And I thank God for that because I feel like I would just need to sit to the side there and listen to some of you preach. But we know that God calls us and He has a reason for doing what He does, right?
Amen.
And we don't question it. We say, Lord, if that's your will, then I want to do your will. And I feel like we all understand that and we all know that. So we thank God for all of His blessings. We thank God for watching over us and giving us safety on the highway as we travel. I do tend to move around a little bit, and I hope that's all right. I'm not very good at standing still. But you know, God has been good to us. And we thank God for that. Jody said that people have asked us about traveling when we get on the air and the airplane. And I tell them, I'm not worried about it. If it's my time to go, it's my time to go. I said, but what I worry about if it's the pilot's time to go or not. People look at me funny. But you know, I don't really fear it, you know. I feel like if God has a plan for my life, then He's going to see it through.
Amen.
Amen. So tonight we're going to be looking, I want to look at a verse in John chapter 13. It's where I'm going to draw your attention to first. And I'm just going to look at one verse there. You might think it's an odd verse, but I want us to look at this one verse, and I'm going to draw some thoughts out of this one verse. And that's John chapter 13 and verse 23. And you might think that's a strange verse, but I'm going to read it. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples whom Jesus loved. And looking at that verse, we know that John had a relationship with Jesus, that Jesus loved John. Amen. John chapter 13, verse 23, and this is what it says. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples whom Jesus loved. And what I want us to talk about tonight is restoring the intimate relationship. Amen. All right, I want us to think about that. That, you know, when we think about John, we think about the relationship that he had with Jesus. Many times the other disciples would say, they would tell John, you ask Him. Because you're closer to Him, because He loves you, you're special to Him. When in reality, all of us are special
True.
To Him.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this day, and thank You for all the blessings of life You bestowed upon us. Father, You know the thoughts that You've given me, Lord, and in myself, I'm nothing, Lord. But we ask that You would send Your Spirit, Lord, that the Spirit would season the Word, Lord, that they would go forth and find lodgment in hearts. And we'll give You the praise, honor, and glory for all this accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if we think about the reason I thought about restoring the intimate relationship is because we read in the creation where Adam and Eve, it said that God, the Spirit of God came and walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day.
Amen.
And it was a time, it seemed, as though they all three looked forward to it.
Sure.
It's something that they enjoyed.
Sure,
they
right.
It was refreshing to them. Not only it seemed it though that it was even refreshing to the Spirit of God to come and be with them. And we know how sin entered into the world, and that relationship was broken between God and Adam and Eve. And we see there that even with that relationship being broken, that God longed to have that relationship with them. It not so much them, you know. It don't seem like they really. It don't really seem that they longed for that relationship again. Right away, at least, it seems like the cares of life came in. And I like to think about that is that, you know, whenever we get saved, as we go through life, I like to use the term life happens.
Yep.
Right? Life happens. It happens to everybody. Brother James in our congregation, he calls it life after salvation. And what happens is life happens. And because of that, things can come in and tend to rob that intimate relationship that we have with God. The intimate relationship that God designed for us to have with Him. All right, now we look in the Old Testament and we see that throughout the Old Testament there was different ones that really had an intimate relationship with God. And one of the first ones we think about is Enoch. Now, Enoch walked with God, and God took him. He pleased God. And that can only come through an intimate relationship. And that is a relationship where each one of them has to take time to be with the other. You know, an intimate relationship can't happen one-sided.
That's true. Amen.
Whenever I started liking Jody, and we started talking to each other, it was long distance, but it didn't just happen one-sided. She didn't talk to me. And I not respond to her, or it wouldn't have went very far. We tried that a few times. It didn't work. She liked for me to write her letters back. Well, then whenever we got to where we was talking to each other on the phone, if she called me and I didn't talk to her, that didn't do no good. You know, it can't be, an intimate relationship can't be one-sided.
That's true. Amen.
So as we come up through time, we see that God had a relationship with Noah. And we see what happened because of that, the world was saved.
Amen.
And Noah prepared an ark and preached. He preached to people to try to get people to understand that God loved them and wanted to spare their lives. And we know the story. It's only a few that was saved. Well, we come on up through time and we see that different ones through time had a relationship, that intimate relationship. And God established a covenant. And it was a covenant. The covenant was established. It was a set of rules. Really, it was a set of do's and don'ts. But it was designed to draw people to God.
Amen.
You know, that was the whole design of it. It wasn't designed to push people away. Matter of fact, God did. He did so many things. If you ever studied into the old covenant, He gave them things that they could make sacrifices for things that they had done, even presumptuous sins, things they didn't even know they was doing.
True.
But he did that so that they would draw close to him. But you see that as time went on, what happened is people, they started doing it just because it was required of them.
Yeah, that's true.
And they did it because it was required, and as long as they did only what was required, they was okay. And it got to where it was no relationship there. It was just people following a set of rules. That was it. If he told them to bring a lamb on this day, then hey, guess what? Hey, today's that day. Let's go take a lamb. And that's the way they looked at it. It was just the rules of do's and don'ts so that we can make heaven our home. There was no intimacy in it. There was nothing. They was not involved. It was not from their heart. And because of that, God said it became a stink in his nostrils. He couldn't even stand to smell the incense burning. He couldn't even stand to smell the smoke from the sacrifices because their heart wasn't in it.
Amen.
So we're talking tonight about restoring the intimate relationship. Amen. We read in Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 40. God desired to have a relationship. He wanted more than just just burnt offerings and people that was doing things because it was necessary. He wanted a people that would love him out of their heart. That was what the whole thing was designed to do. That's what God intended from the very beginning. But we see that people, they decided to, just to go through the chores of it. Not looking at it from their own heart. In Isaiah chapter 40, he's talking about the coming Messiah and what would happen here. So we're going to take time to read a few verses there. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice saith, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and all the goodliness thereof as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up unto the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with the young. Amen. And we read that and we see just the desire that God had for us. And we notice in verse 1, he says, comfort. Amen. In verse 2, he says, your sins are forgiven. Verse 3, he says, make straight paths. Amen. You know, there's no crooked road with the Lord. An easy way. Amen. Yes, and he says it would come to pass that the glory of God, and that there is Jesus Christ. Yes. The glory of God has come to be with us. Amen. Amen. And we thank God for that. That he came to restore the intimate relationship. Amen. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2. And this is talking about Christ. Christ came to restore that relationship. Amen. You know, sometimes even in our Christian walk, sometimes we don't even realize that part of our relationship is waning. You know that?
True.
Even the most steadfast Christians... In my job, I'm a carpenter. And there's certain things that we do on every job that's the same. And you do it and you don't even think about it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know that? Brother Doug works on transmissions. There's some things he probably does that he has to go look and say, did I even do that? Because you do it. And every one of us that has had a job, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There are certain things you do. And after you've done it, you think, did I do that?
Right.
Did I skip that step or did I do that? And you find you go back and you check. And you know, the same thing can happen in our relationship with Christ.
Right.
In our spiritual relationship with God, we get so used to doing things and so used to it that we do it on autopilot.
Yeah. That's right.
And when we do it, we're not even thinking about it. Our heart's not really in it.
Amen.
Our mind is not really in it. We go through the motions.
Amen.
I've sat down and read my Bible, and I'm gonna read and study, And next thing I know, I done read half of the chapter and don't even know what I read.
It's true.
And I'm not the only one. But what happens? What happens? You know what happens is that we get so busy that we go through the motions. Right? And that little bit of intimate relationship of cherishing those times and enjoying that time, sitting and reading and enjoying reading a verse and just taking time to look at that verse and say, what does it say? What does that verse say? I have a practice at home every once in a while. On a Sunday morning, instead of preaching, I'll just get up and I'll say, okay, this is what we're going to do this morning. And I'll give someone a scripture and I'll say, I want you to stand up and tell me what that verse means to you. First time I caught them on surprise, but after that, whenever they see that I'm the chairman, they know something's up. But I did that for a reason, because we don't stop to think. Like one of them was Psalm 23:1. And the verse is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I said, what does that verse mean to you? A lot of times we don't even think about the one verse. We read the whole chapter and we try to summarize the whole chapter. But what does that verse mean to you?
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. Man, that means all the world. That means that God is going to be with us. But you see, it's the little things like that we take for granted sometimes. And we don't even realize that, hey, I'm losing something here. Yes, Jesus Christ came to the world to restore that intimate relationship with God.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what we're talking about this evening. That's why we're looking at Hebrews chapter 2. Amen. Verse 9. Amen. And we're talking about Jesus here because without Jesus, none of this is possible. We live in a world today where there's so many different ways to get to Christ according to the world. You know that? Oh, there's so many ways that you can do it this way, or you can do it that way, or you can meditate on Him and you'll make it to heaven. You hear anything, and you hear everything. But I'm going to tell you, friends, the truth is that without Jesus Christ, we have nothing. Without Jesus Christ, we have nothing. And here we see in verse 9, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people.
Amen.
Amen. So we see that he did all that. He did all that to restore the relationship that God and Adam and Eve had. No, he didn't do it to make a sub-relationship or a relationship less than what God and Adam and Eve had. You know that?
Amen.
He did it to restore that relationship.
Amen.
A relationship where God enjoys being with us.
Amen.
And we enjoy spending time with God.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
A relationship that works only if both parties are involved.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
Right? You stop and think about that. It can't work one side. No. For it's ever since the fall in the garden, God, on his part, desired to reestablish that relationship. And he tried so hard to have a people that would love him. And to have a people that would serve him out of their heart. Because they wanted to.
Amen.
But look what it did. It actually drove them further away from him. Because their heart wasn't in it. And we turn and we look at the world today and we wonder why people don't want to serve the Lord. We wonder why they don't want that relationship. And it's because people's heart are not ready for that relationship. Some people think I got too much I want to do. Amen. Whenever God says, I'm here, I'm ready.
Amen.
He's always ready. He's been ready since time began. Amen. To restore that relationship. And that's why whenever we give even the smallest amount of our time to him, he blesses it.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that even when it feels like it's your busiest time and you feel like I really don't have time, but I need to make time.
Yeah.
And you say, I'm just going to make a few minutes. I've got to make a few minutes to do whatever. If it's to pray or to meditate on some scripture or to just sit down and read the word. You ever feel like you get up from there and say, man, that it just seems so fruitful.
Amen.
And the reason is because he was ready.
Right.
He was ready.
Right.
All we had to do was make time to be there.
Yes, amen.
Amen. That is it. All we had to do was make time. And I look at Jesus whenever he was on the earth. And we see how many times that he tried to tell the people. How many times did he try to reach out to the people? Whenever he passed by Jerusalem, and he told them, he stood and he wept over Jerusalem. He said, how many times would I have drawn you to me?
Amen.
How many times would I, like a mother, gathers her chicks. You talk about, that's an intimate action. He's talking about drawing and cuddling and hiding, protecting. And what did Jesus say? He wept.
Yep.
He said, but you would not.
Yep. That's right.
And you know what happened? The saddest part of that is that he told them that because they would not, their house was left desolate. I tell you, it's a sad thing. But whenever God wants that relationship with us, we should eagerly look for that relationship.
Amen.
You know that? I tell people that as life goes on and life happens, sometimes people that start out good and strong, they start out and they got a good relationship with God. And as they go on, their relationship gets a little weaker. And they notice it, but they're not really sure how to do anything about it. And some people, they'll understand that and they'll make corrections. And other people, they just keep going. And the relationship gets less and less. And then finally it's gone. You know, you wake up one day and you realize, you know, I'm not saved. I don't have that relationship with God. I sit down and I try to read the scriptures. I get nothing from it. Or, I don't enjoy going to church. I don't enjoy doing things I used to. And that's whenever reality sinks in. You know that?
Yeah.
And that's when reality sinks in that I'm separated from God.
Yeah.
And sad to say that happens to too many people too late. You know that? But whenever we're in our relationship with God, whenever we wake up one day and we realize, you know, I'm not enjoying my relationship like I used to. I don't find fulfillment in the services like I used to. I don't enjoy prayer meetings so much like I used to. I don't enjoy hearing the testimony of the saints like I used to. You know, that's when God's speaking to us and say, hey, I'm trying to get your attention. Our relationship is on the rocks here, and we need to rekindle our relationship.
Amen.
And he gives us wake-up calls from time to time.
Yes.
And I tell you, I'm thank God that he does. I'm thankful that he's long-suffering with me.
Amen.
You know that? And I feel like we all get that way from time to time. And it's because of what I said earlier. Life happens.
Correct.
Life happens. It don't matter if you're the pastor, if you're a song leader, or if you just come and sit. It happens to every one of us.
Amen.
Every one of us. I find myself studying, and study it for a message. And I'll tell you what, sometimes if I'm not careful, I'm not even paying attention to really what I'm studying to get a message for the congregation, and I'm not taking time to think about my own soul.
It's true.
And you know that? I mean, and sometimes the Lord, He has to slap me a little bit. And He gives me a message, and I say, Lord, I can't preach that message. That's for me. But you know what? We have to preach it.
Amen.
Amen. We have to be first partakers, right?
Amen.
But that's what He does. He gets our attention. And the reason He does that is because He loves us. And He wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him. Amen. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you're the branches. So if we're going to have a relationship with Him, we've got to be connected to Him.
Amen.
Amen. If we're going to have that relationship with God, we've got to be connected through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can't do it no other way. You can try meditation, but that ain't going to get you anywhere.
Amen.
You know that? There's a lot of practices. I have family members that sad to say that they go from this to the next, from Buddhism to all different kind of things, and they do meditation and Mother Earth and all these different things, and there's no fulfillment in it. There's no joy. You know that? They pick up a little Buddha and put it in their pocket, and they carry him with him everywhere they go. And I think how sad it is.
True.
But I'm going to tell you, friends, that's the state of the world we live in today. You know that? That's the state people are in. They have no idea what it's like to have a relationship with a true and living God.
Amen.
I'm talking about a relationship that is fulfilling. A relationship that if I have a need, I can call out to God and He's answering my need.
Amen.
A relationship that if I have fear, I can cast my fear on Him.
Yes.
You know, a relationship that if I have a need or if there's something bothering me, I can talk to Him about it. Matter of fact, it's the kind of relationship, if there's a problem between me and Doug, I don't have to fret and worry about it. I can talk to God about it.
Amen.
And God can talk to both of us about it.
Amen.
You know, I'm talking about the most beautiful, fulfilling relationship that we can have. It's an intimate relationship with God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm talking about more than just scratching the surface. There's a lot of people that carry the Bible around. There's a lot of people that listen to gospel music. But I'm going to tell you what, it's something entirely different.
Amen.
To have a relationship with God. Amen. And I'll tell you, and this, we're going to look at the last couple verses in 2 Corinthians. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. One of the most important jobs that we have as Christians and as ministers, but as Christians, is this portion of Scripture here. I've read it, and it's a ministry of reconciliation. You know that? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So one of the most important ministries that we have as Christians and as ministers and preachers, pastors, is to reconcile men and women, boys and girls, to Christ.
Amen.
You know that? Is reconciling them to Christ, to help him to realize that there is a relationship that God desires. And that it's a relationship that is mutually beneficial.
Right?
It's not one-sided. No, it's beneficial to both parties. Amen. And it actually is most beneficial to us.
Amen.
Amen. It's reconciling that intimate relationship. But you know what? It's just like anything else. Whenever two people are at odds, reconciliation can be hard. You know that? Because sometimes people's got to, they got to admit the things that they don't want to admit to.
True.
Or maybe think that they may have to change some things they don't want to change because we're human.
Amen.
Nobody likes change.
Amen.
Right? Everybody's set in their own way. I imagine when you came to church, you came the same way that you have for the last 5 years. Did any of you take a different route? You didn't. Why? It's because we're creatures of habit. And what happens is when we get into a habit, we don't like to change.
Right.
And it's sad to say that when we get into a habit, even when we see that our relationship with God is in trouble or else it ain't there, we've done got into a habit and we don't like to change, brother.
Right.
We don't like to change. Amen. God, sometimes God try to get our attention. God, I believe God does things to get our attention sometimes.
Amen.
Yes, I believe God does things to wake us up sometimes. And some things He does things to get our attention, and we say, well, I'm not ready for that. Because we don't want to change. Sometimes He tries to get our attention, and we keep on going and say, I'm not ready for that. I want a relationship with God, and I need a relationship with God. And I know that it would help in other areas, but I'm still, you know, I still, I got this, I got that, I got other things. We just don't want to let go of it because we don't like change. And that little bit of change, doing something that don't like change, it causes problems.
That's right.
I tell you what, it causes problems. I remember whenever I hire somebody, there's a way I like doing things. And I tell them that this is the way we do it. And if they don't like doing it that way, then I expect them to learn how to do it my way. So, but every once in a while, one of them will say, well, have you tried it this way? And, you know, I'll look and I'll watch and I'll see if it works, it works. But you know what? God is trying to get our attention. God is trying to get our attention. That He wants a relationship with us. You know that? And the sad thing is that whenever we see that we need a relationship with God, whenever we see that our relationship has maybe been waning a little bit, or maybe we see it's not as strong as it should be, when we see that, then I like to say this, that once you see something, once God shows you something, you can't unsee it.
That's true.
There's a lot of things in life that you can unsee. You know that? You can just change your mind. Paul had to unlearn some things. And that's what I call unseen. You had to unlearn it. But nothing that God showed Paul did he have to unlearn. Because he couldn't unlearn it. It was something he had to see, he had to know. When the Spirit of God witnesses to our hearts, and that's where we're coming to now. When the Spirit of God witnesses to our hearts that relationship is not what it should be, or it's not where it used to be, then it's time for us to make a move. It's time for us to do something about it. You know, it's not time to, you know, to say, well, I'll make this change and that change. No, it's not time to bargain, and it's not time to barter. It's time to open our hearts and say, Lord, I need help. Lord, I need help. I need to know. I want to know what I need to do to make this relationship better. Right? That's why He speaks to our hearts. Right? That's why He speaks. That's why He steps on our toes sometimes. That's why He sends us messages. Sometimes it's hard to hear. Sometimes it's hard to preach. It's because He wants that relationship. It's because He cares about every one of us individually. Every one of us. He cares about us individually. He wants us to have a fulfilled life, just like Adam and Eve did. He wants us to enjoy our relationship with Him. And the only way to do that is to resign our life to Him.
Amen.
So tonight, I just want you to look at your relationship with God. And I look at myself all the time, and I examine myself. And I every time I hear the word go forth, when we was in the convention, the messages was being preached, and I heard one minister say, he said, I look at myself. And that's exactly what I do. I don't sit there and say, Lord, You need to talk to Jody.
Amen.
I don't say that. You know what I mean? I might think it, but I don't say it. But you know what I mean? I look at myself. I said, Lord, what is in this for me? What do I need to do different, Lord? What do I need to do to help strengthen my relationship with you? Because, friends, I'm going to tell you, the world we live in, I don't know if y'all looked outside, but it's bad.
Yeah.
Amen. The world we live in is wicked.
Amen.
You know, you think about in our little town, we hear things and we say, oh, that happens in Baltimore. That don't happen here. But I'm going to tell you, friend, this happened there. Where we live, in just the last number of years, I don't know how many, we have a major river that flows right through Jonesville. And in the last 5 years, I couldn't tell you how many bodies he pulled out of the river that's been brutally murdered. And I'm talking, they cut their hands off. They cut their head off so the bodies can't be identified. Things that we never would have heard of. We just recently had a case where a person that Jody and I know killed another person that we know. And her boyfriend buried the body in the yard. People are hard. People are cold. And why is that? It's because whenever that relationship with God is not there,
amen,
there's a relationship that comes in that we didn't ask for, that we actually don't want, we don't desire, but there comes a relationship with Satan.
That's true.
And we don't like to think about that. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to think about that. But it's either you either have God or you don't. They don't want to say that you either have God or you have Satan. People don't want to look at it in that light. Right. But the reality is that if God is not, that relationship that you have is not with God. If you don't have an intimate relationship with God, you will have an intimate relationship with Satan. And we don't like that terminology. We don't like to think about that. We don't like to think about what it does to people. But it's true. You know, it's just a hard thing to say that people have a relationship with Satan. But what else would it be? Because in a relationship, even in a relationship that is harmful to one person, a lot of times, what happens is the one that's being hurt don't want to leave the relationship. I've seen it. Me and Jody have talked to people. We've counseled people that was in abusive relationships. And you know what they say? It's going to get better.
Yep.
That's always their hope. And they go right back to the relationship. Friends, I'm going to tell you, that's what the relationship with Satan is like. But it's not going to get any better.
Right.
It's not going to get any better. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and feel better about your relationship. No, but I'm going to tell you, whenever that relationship with God is restored, I tell you what, you can wake up tomorrow and feel good. And you can wake up the next day and feel good and feel better. As the day goes by, you can think, you know, you have a relationship that will stand the test of time.
Amen.
I'm talking about a relationship that would endure through eternity.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. A relationship with God. One that cares for your soul. One that loves you. Has made preparation for you, not only for the saving of our soul, the healing of our body. Anything that we could need, we can bring it to Him. And He would care for us. You know that? What a beautiful relationship that is. So tonight I just said, admonish you to look at your relationship. And the thing I would ask you, and I know most of us are probably saved here tonight, but we're gonna ask ourselves, what relationship are we in?
True.
You know, I mean, everybody, we must ask ourselves that relationship. And sometimes the sad thing is, sometimes people lie to themselves and they feel like, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm all right. I was saved as a child. But you know what? Life happens. And if we neglect that relationship, God's not going to hang around and wait for 20, 30, 40 years and then say, oh, yeah, here we are. The relationship's all good. No. No, we gotta make some. We gotta come and make some confessions to Him that we was wrong and we left Him. Yes. To have that relationship restored. So I would just ask you to ask yourself, what is your relationship with God like tonight? Do you have a relationship with God? If you do, is it in good standing? Is your relationship good? And if it's not, you need to say, Lord, what must I do to revive that relationship?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you tonight.
Amen.
Thank you. Yeah, well done.
Beautiful message. Right down to everyday understanding level. There's not a one of us in here that cannot relate to that message. If you're married, you definitely can relate to that message. If you have children, you know, I was thinking as he was preaching, I have two grandchildren. You know what they want? They don't want me to take them to the store and buy them something and give them candy and all that. They do. But they want my time.
Right.
They want me to play with them. They want me to spend time with them. If you have a good friend, you know why you got a good friend? Because you guys spend time together. You have, as he says, a relationship. The message title was Restoring That Intimate Relationship. And every one of us can testify, Lord, from time to time. God taps us on the shoulder and says, hey, you got to come back.
Amen.
10 virgins in the Bible.
That's
the
right.
Bible says they all slumbered and slept.
Yep.
And every one of us can relate to that. We get tired, we get weary, we get busy, we get things. Lord, help me to restore that intimate relationship with you, as he's mentioned with John.
Amen.
If you'd like to get a songbook and stand, turn to page 154. The time, if you have a need in your soul, come to an altar of prayer. Prayer, pray with you, counsel with you. Whatever you may need, that God will bless your heart. I am coming to Jesus for rest, rest such as a purified known. My soul is athirst to be blessed, to be washed and made whiter than snow. I believe Jesus saved. Of Christ. I mentioned it before he started preaching about the prodigal son. You know, he had a relationship with his father, but he severed it.
Yeah.
He wanted to go away. He wanted his own way. And he went away and he found himself in the hog pen and he wanted to come back home. But he didn't think that he could have that relationship again. He said, I'll come back, and if he'll just let me be a hired servant, to live in the servants' quarters, that's
yeah.
all. That was what he was hoping for.
Yeah, that's right.
But the father wasn't that way.
No.
He longed for him to come back. And when the father seen him, the father didn't just sit, well, here he comes. He ran to him.
He ran and met him, yes.
And he met him. And he said, no, you're not going to be a servant.
No.
put a ring on his hand and a coat on his back. He says, you're my son. He's restored the full sonship.
Yeah.
That's the love of God. Maybe we've gone away. Maybe we've drifted. Maybe we've just faded a little bit. God says, I'm waiting for you to come back.
Amen.
And I'll accept it by the grace of God. So if there's a need as we sing verse 3 and 4, God's longing. He's looking. He's waiting and desiring for you to come back to that relationship.
Amen.
Verse 3. Jesus, I give up my all. Every treasure and idol I know. For his fullness of blessing I call. Till his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I am trusting in Jesus alone. Trusting now his salvation to know, and his blood does so fully atone. I am washed and made whiter than snow. I believe Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow.
Amen.
Appreciate seeing each one tonight. We have a good audience this evening. We thank God for that. Invite you back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock again. Pray for Brother Tim. God anoint him again. Another message. Hagerstown bus will be down Friday evening, Lord willing, so pray for them that they'll travel. I didn't say anything as I was texting Brother Greg back, and I pray for him. I don't really understand all the traffic yet with the bridge, how that works, but they'll be coming in a very difficult way. So pray to God to give them safety and help in. And, Friday night we'll have a little snack across the street, so be much able to be here. Anything else we need to mention before we dismiss? Again, appreciate each one being here. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, God bless us.
Brother Doug, I failed to mention it during the prayer request, but Pam Long, who all of our congregation knows, is in the hospital. She's had kidney failure. Mm. And Sister Gail heard from her sister today. And they're going to try to do dialysis tomorrow. They don't know if they can or not, but remember her. Yeah. She's very, very ill.
Brother Ken, you able to dismiss us?
I'll try it. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for the privilege to have been in the house of God. Father, we rejoice, Lord.